In today's Mishnah, so in the fourth and fifth Mishnah from the third parak of Masechet Kiddushin. Till now, we've been talking about various tnaim, various conditions that someone stipulates when they perform Kiddushin. And what we'll learn from this Mishnah, Rebbe Meir disagrees on the effectiveness of all these tnaim because he holds, as it says now, Rebbe Meir says, "Kol tnei she'eino k'tnai b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven," any condition that is different to the way that the B'nai Gad and Reuven made before they entered the land of Eretz Israel. If you remember, from your Chumash, is that they wanted to get their Nachala on the Transjordan area where the B'nai Gad and Reuven, Chatzi Shev and Menashe, eventually got their Nachala. And Moshe Rabbeinu made a condition with them. And he says, if you do go through and go with the rest of Am Yisrael and help them conquer the land, then you get your share. And if not, you'll get your share amongst everyone else within Eretz Israel, if you like, proper, meaning not Transjordan. So that was what's called a Tanai Kaful, meaning it says what will happen in the positive if the condition is met, and also what will happen if the condition is not met. So what Rebbe Meir says, any condition that's not like that, as it says, Shnei Mavim Moshe Alehem Im Ya'avru B'nei Gad Reuven, and that's the positive, Uchtiv Im Lo Ya'avru Chalutzim, but if you don't go. So in the previous Mishnah, since the conditions weren't two-way, it was only, you'll make a condition to me if I do such and such, or I have such and such, then it's not even considered a condition. What does it mean it's not considered a condition? It means we completely disregard the condition altogether, and she would be mekudesh nonetheless. So if he said, you're mekudesh on the condition that I have matayim zuz, according to Rebbe Meir, because it didn't say, if I don't have matayim zuz and you're not mekudesh to me, then we completely disregard the tanai, and even if he doesn't have matayim zuz, there would be mekudesh. That's opinion Rebbe Meir. There's a few other laws we learn also from B'nai Gad and Reuven. One is the condition is prior to the actual maaseh, meaning the Tanai, the way it was stipulated is if you cross the Jordan and go into battle with them, then you'll get this Nachala. And also the affirmative was prior to the negative, meaning we find that the consequence of the condition being fulfilled was stated prior to the consequence of if the condition wasn't fulfilled. Those are the details. However, Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel says, Tzarich haya davar lomro. He says, no, that's not true. You don't need a two-way Tanai. Why is it when it came to B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven did Moshe Rabbeinu make the condition in such a manner that you see both the positive and the negative? That's because She'imalei Ken, had Moshe Rabbeinu not said what would happen if the Tanai was not fulfilled, Yesh B'mashema, one might think, Shafilu Be'eretz K'nan lo Yenchalu, they wouldn't even get a share within Eretz Israel. I mean, they get no share at all. That's why it was critically important that Moshe Rabbeinu stated what would happen if they didn't go through with their condition. In other words, they would still get a chelek, a nachla, but it would be amongst with everybody else within Eretz Israel itself. Let's now learn Mishnah Heya. Hamekadesh Yishavah Amar. If someone betroths a woman and he says, Kazavayiti she kohenet. I thought she was a kohenet, and she's Vahari Levia, but she's really a bat Levi. Or, I thought she was a bat Levi, and she's really a Vahari kohenet, but she's a bat kohen. Aniyah, I thought she was poor, Vahari Yashira, but now I find she's wealthy, or vice versa. Ashira, Vahari Aniyah. All this situation we say Hari is a Mekudeshet. This is not Kiddushin Bataut. This is completely Mekudeshet. Why Bimnei Shilohi Tato? She didn't mislead him in any way. And the fact that he thought something is irrelevant, because we say to him, Shebelev in Umdravarim. The fact that in his heart he thought she was, for example, wealthy and she wasn't, we basically completely disregard that, because he didn't actually stipulate that when he said, I'm marrying you on the condition you're wealthy. Let's continue. Ha'omer le'isha haret mekudesh l'chashi et gayer. He says, you're mekudesh to me. This is a goy speaking after I convert. So he hands her over something now while he's still a goy, or lachash jegari, or she's not Jewish, he's talking about a Jewish man, and he gives her something, says her mekudeshli, after you're converted, or lachash eshtachrer, or lachash tishrachari, so we're referring now either he was a Eved Knani, or she was a Shivcha Knanit, and he says after either he was freed or she would be freed. L'chashum balech, or he says to woman, you're mekudeshmi after your husband passes away, and he hands her something now. L'chash tamut achotech, let's say his wife is gravely ill, and he goes to the sister, you are mekudeshet to me after my wife passes away. Or he says to a shomer yabam, this is a woman whose husband passed away, they do not have any children, and they're waiting for the chalitza to be performed with the surviving brother. And another man goes up to her and says, you are mekudeshet to me after achar she yachlotzlich yavamech, after the chalitza has been performed. Then we say, einu mekudeshet. All this situation does not work. Why? Since he cannot perform kiddushin right now, it's irrelevant what he's saying, the handing over of whatever I'm to perform kiddushin, that'll be chal, when it's relevant, he cannot do that because he cannot perform kiddushin now. What's interesting here, when it comes to this Shomer Yabam, this woman who's waiting for Yibum to be performed, we said since he can't do Kiddushin now, he cannot say Harat Mekudeshet Li after Chalitz is performed. One understanding here is referring to, again, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that because Kiddushin is not Tofes, doesn't bind for something that's just an Isur love. The Rambam, however, says, because we do not hold like Rabbi Kiva, that if someone did that in such a situation, she would be Mekudeshet Misafek. V'chen ha'omer l'chavar, if someone says to his friend, Im yalda ishtacha nekeva, if your wife gives birth to a child, harei hi mekudeshet li, I want her to be married to me. We say, Einu mekudeshet once again, because he's trying to make kiddushin tofes on something that doesn't exist in the world at all, and this child hasn't even been conceived. However, Im hayta isha eshe chaveru me'uberet v'hukar u'bara, if however the wife is already pregnant, and she's visibly pregnant, like you could see it, we say, in that case, devarav kayamim. That would work. V'im yalda nekeva, if the wife actually gave birth then to a child, it would be mekodeshet. This is assuming, obviously, the father was happy with that to occur. There is a bit of a debate, and Kati goes into a bit of detail here in terms of how this last case works. Some people aren't goras this whole last case, because we say a person cannot makne devar shel ba'al olam. Someone cannot acquire something that hasn't yet come into the world. In any event, Kati here says that, citing the Rambam, is that this man, if he was going to marry her, would have to do kiddushin once again. Meaning this kiddushin is only lahachmir. So it's not really binding, meaning we treat lachumra that this girl that's born would not be able to marry anybody else. Again, to actually complete the kiddushin, he would actually have to do kiddushin again. That's the way the Bar Tanura explains this Mishnah according to the Rambam. Those are the Mishnah today.